Hey, this is Kristen Chita, and I just want to welcome you today to my podcast. And I do want to tell you, if you want more information about what other things that I do, you can check out kristenchita.com. I have some resources. I have some books that I have recently written, and you can find out all about just the different little retreats and things that I have that are on my website. I post everything there. All right, so today, what I want to do is I'm just going to start with a little story that happened to me yesterday. So yesterday I had my very first subbing experience here in the Kansas City area where I live. And it's just a new, kind of a new thing for me. I have not been in the classroom formally in 25 years. So it is, it was a new experience, but it felt like I had been maybe on vacation for a couple weeks, and I just jumped right on in, and it was just wonderful. I had a fourth grade class. Ah, made my heart come alive. And during the day, I just took a little bit of time with the kids. We had, between one subject to the other, we had just a little bit of time, you know, kind of just with nothing planned. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to just kind of walk through it's like my time when I'm with the Lord. I don't have really anything, my tent time. And I have a little kind of formula, quote unquote, that I use every now and then, where I start with praise, and then I do confession, just kind of cleansing my heart. Then I do just a few things that I'm thankful for, just keeping that place of gratitude, spend some time in the Word. And then I just ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to speak to me. And then I end my time with just then giving the requests that I have for what I'm longing and desiring for God to do. So I was going to go through that whole little wheel, or model with the kids. And so we started with praise. So, they're fourth graders, and I just kind of wanted to start something simple with them. So we were going to do the ABCs of adoration, just adoring God with who He is, His nature, His character, His names. So we started with A, and I just had the kids kind of shouting out in a quiet way. they are 9 and 10 year olds, or yep, 9 and 10 year olds. Who God is, as you know, starting with the letter A. So I got, He's Abba, He's awesome. And we went through the alphabet, and it was just so much fun to see the kids come alive, and they know who God is. I was so excited. And we got to M, and one of the kids shouted out, He's a God of miracles. And so I just said, okay, that's awesome. Let's put a pause on our alphabet adoration. And I said, who can tell me a testimony of a miracle that you have experienced in your life or your family's life or maybe a friend's life? Who has one? And I just barely got the words out of my mouth, and hands shot up all over the classroom. Kids had story after story, a testimony after testimony of God's working power in their life, or God's working power in their family's life, or God's working power in a friend's life. And I was so amazed that these kids had such a connection to what the Spirit of God was doing in them and around them. And so I just took the opportunity to talk about how just some of the things that testimonies do for our faith, and decided that that was going to be what this podcast is about today. So I'm going to bring you into my fourth grade classroom. some of the things that I spoke to the 10-year-olds. And I'm just always encouraged when I actually talk about testimonies, because it increases our faith to believe more and more for what God can do. And that's something that one of the things I talked about yesterday. But that's my introduction into today. I'm really excited about just talking about and stirring up the expectation for testimonies in your life and testimonies in my life. And I have to say, if God didn't really care about the quality of life that we had while we were on the earth, then really all of Jesus's miracles would have just been kind of foolishness. God does care. He is active in your life. He's active in my life. You know, think about it. Jesus didn't come to the man who was blind and just comfort him and say, oh, you know what? It's going to be so great when you finally get to heaven and you can see. Like, that wasn't his approach. He went, and what did he do? He asked the blind man, what do you want from me? And when the blind man said, I want to see, Jesus came with healing power. Or imagine if he went to the woman with the issue of blood and just said, you know what, all of your suffering will be over and all that isolation that you're experiencing will be over when you get to heaven. No, that's not who Jesus was. It's not who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's something we know. When Jesus lived and what he taught was that our life was made to be influenced by heaven here and now, not just later. His kingdom is now. So even in Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching us how to pray, your kingdom come, here's what we know. His kingdom is to be this epicenter for our understanding, the epicenter for our life. And the kingdom of God was, we know that it was, so that was when Jesus physically walked on the earth. Jesus exercised his authority and the kingdom came. And we know Jesus came to establish his kingdom on the earth. So we know his kingdom was, is, and is to come. Those are the three verbs that we see over and over that describe the kingdom of God. So his kingdom come, it was when Jesus walked the earth. But his kingdom is now present. His kingdom is present. It's in us. His kingdom is in believers. And because we carry God's presence within us, wherever he is present, his kingdom will come. So as we give the kingdom of God presence in our life, we will exercise his authority. And so then we'll see his kingdom manifest here and now. It's this partnership that Jesus has invited us into. And then we also know that his kingdom is to come. When Jesus comes to rule and reign, his kingdom will be established over the entire world. And right now we know it's an invisible kingdom. But when he returns, when he comes, his kingdom will no longer be invisible, but it will be made manifest. So we, as the believers, are to live with this understanding that God's kingdom is present in us, and we are to release the kingdom of God everywhere we go in our sphere of influence. All right, so let's talk about some of the testimonies of God. There are, I just pulled a couple scriptures. Psalm 119:24 says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And another in Psalm 119, because that's full of the testimonies, full of the commands, full of teaching, where the psalmist just talks about how his delight is in the commands of the Lord, in the law of the Lord. This is what he meditates on. This is what he finds, where he finds his fulfillment. But his testimonies, your testimonies, God, are my delight and my counselors, Psalm 119:24. And then again, Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I do know, if you're familiar with Bill Johnson out in Redding, California, one thing I know about him is he has the testimonies, the things that have been prophesied over him, the testimonies of God's goodness in his life, the things that he's experienced, the miracles that he has personally witnessed and experienced. He has these testimonies written in a binder, and the prophecies are recorded, and he has them all where he meditates. Here's what you've spoken. Here's what you've said. Here's what you've done. And this is his part of his meditation. So first thing that we see are testimonies. We receive these testimonies, and they are to give us counsel. Counsel to us. The Psalm 119 scripture tells us that your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Every day there are situations that you and I have that come to us that just arise, and they require us to make decisions. We need to have our hearts directed and focused on God. In that moment, what are you saying? What are you doing? And we're just inviting him to counsel us. We're saying, and testimonies, part of the description of a testimony is, we're saying, God, we want you to do it again. Do it again. You've done it before. You do it again. So we have to let the testimonies, the things that we've experienced, the things that we have known of God, the way that we've seen his nature, the way that we've seen his character manifest in our life, what is true about who he is. We believe that the things that we've experienced from him, they will be our counselors. So we know how to address the situations that come up, that we don't get discouraged, that we don't get defeated, that we don't get disappointed, because we keep our focus, whatever we feed on, is going to, you know, give that increase in our life. And we will reproduce that which we feed on. So we want the testimonies to counsel us. So that's the first thing that I see. The second thing that I see with testimonies is testimonies reveal the nature of God. They really anchor us, our thinking, in what's heaven's perspective. And the testimonies that come, these testimonies that we experience, they're to be like our baseline. This is what our new understanding is to be. And they show us who God is. They confirm who God is as we study out his nature, as we meditate on his goodness. And even when Jesus, you know, there's the, I think it's Mark 8, and I've done a actual podcast about this, but there was the time in Mark 8 when Jesus is, he's fed the 4,000, they've experienced him feeding the 5,000, and they get into, Jesus has the disciples, they get into a boat, and when they get in the boat and Jesus says something about, Mark 8, 15, Jesus says, "Be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." And then they discuss with one another and said, "Oh, darn it, it's because we have no bread." And aware of those discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears to fail to hear? And don't you remember?" And then he says, "When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" And then he says, "Do you still not understand?" And really what he's saying is, these testimonies, we need to steward them. We need to steward the testimonies, that this is now our baseline. We've experienced the miraculous. We've experienced God's power in our life. We've experienced these miraculous experiences that he has done in our own life that we can point to. This has to be our baseline. So they've revealed the nature of God. So now, any situation that comes up, we are anchored in heaven's perspective. And we can say, "Oh, God's done that in my life, he can do that in your life." Or, "Wow, I've seen God work in her life. He's going to work in your life that same way." We're calling on those testimonies. We're saying, this is who God is. It's his nature. It's his character. We're asking him to do it again. So number one, testimonies are to give us counsel every day. And number two, testimonies are to reveal the nature of God, anchoring our thinking in heaven's perspective. Number three, I've got five. Number three, testimonies are not to be forgotten. Each generation is privileged to build upon the previous generation, the previous one. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, and this is something that I've been praying as I steward the testimonies for our family. Deuteronomy 4:9, "Just make sure you stay alert. Keep close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live. Teach the testimonies to your children and grandchildren." Our responsibility is to remember. We are to steward the testimonies, and we're to share them with our children and our grandchildren. This is what the assignment was for the Israelites. And it's the same assignment for us. The testimonies are not to be forgotten. We are to remember. And unfortunately, we often remember the wrong things and we forget the right things. What we're to remember is God's faithfulness. What we are to remember is how the things that we've seen and the things that we've heard, that all the ways that he has shown himself strong, all the ways he's shown himself in love, all the ways he has shown himself in power to our family. This is what we are to steward, and we are to teach this to our children. And Israel's success was completely connected to what they thought about and what they talked about. Joshua, I'm going to turn there real quick. Joshua 1:8 tells us this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. So you're careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So to have God's laws with them, to have his commands, to remember the testimonies, their success, Israel's success was completely connected on what they were thinking, what they were talking about. And you know, we read in Judges that literally in the next book, there's a whole, and I'm reading through Judges right now. I'm kind of going through the Bible again. And it says in Joshua 2, verse 10, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, and then here's the one of the saddest verses, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And you just say, I wrote in my Bible, how can that be? The one of the main things that God told them was, remember, stay vigilant. Don't let your heart wander. Don't forget anything that you've seen. Don't forget anything that you've heard. Teach it to the next generation and to the generation to come after that. And because they didn't, the success that Israel was to have was completely connected to what they thought about, what they talked about, and they forgot the works and the wonders of God, which led them into unbelief. And so if we forget the testimonies, you know, I've written in my Bible, never let it be said of my generational line that there would be a generation who grew up that didn't know the Lord and did not know what he had done for the Cheetah family. So testimonies are not to be forgotten. They are to be remembered. Number four, testimonies keep us encouraged and aware of what God's doing. They keep our focus on what God is doing. We want to feed your heart. I want to feed my heart on what he's done and what he's doing. And what testimonies do is then they raise the watermark of faith. The testimonies really speak to this. This is our God. This is what he's like. And this is what he does. And because he's done it before, I'm believing him to do it again. There's this expectation that arises in our spirits. These testimonies keep us encouraged. And this is one of the things I shared when I was talking yesterday to the fourth graders. One of the things that I said was, as we're all sharing in a classroom, each one of the kids is sharing a testimony, and I could literally feel like the watermark of faith rising. And that is what testimonies do. They bring encouragement, and they make us aware that God is for us, that he is with us, that he does care, and he does intervene, and he wants to be active and is active in our lives. So this is one of those things that the testimonies do. They keep us encouraged and aware. And then the fifth thing is that testimonies build an agreement with the spirit of faith. Kind of repetitive, but we want to fill our minds with what God is doing. And so here is what the agreement looks like. Whatever we agree with will fill our thoughts, will fill our mouths, and then that's what we will release all around us. So we will reproduce what we're focusing on, who we are, what is going in is going to come out. And so testimonies build an agreement with this spirit of faith. What do you agree with in your thought life? What do you agree with in your thought life will affect your speech life. And what you agree with in your thought life will affect your speech life, will affect your action life, your active life. You will live out what you are thinking about. You will live out what you believe. And what happens is when we feed and we build this agreement with God's Spirit, when we build this agreement with heaven, our whole thinking will be renewed. And as our mind is renewed, our belief system is renewed, our speech life is renewed, how we live out will be renewed. And I'm just going to share a quick story about this that happened yesterday. So I've been actively working on my thinking for years, but I've been really active on it, like just not just so that I'm not thinking negatively, but I want my mind to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Like the words that live in my mouth are, let heaven come, let heaven come, show us your glory. I want to see your glory. And I'm really feeding my heart, my mind on the testimonies of what God's done. And I'm trying to come up with creative ways of doing that in our own home. And one of the things that we're doing is my husband and I have a little kind of like a treasure box. And I think I've shared this before. If you listen periodically, you might've heard this, but we have a little treasure box and we write down, we typically write down what we're seeing God do, you know, what we're seeing him. So the thing, like, we're being thankful, we're being grateful, but we're also recording the testimonies. This is what you've done. So we will have a list from now we're in 2019. So we'll have a list at the end of the year. I have a little sticky note pad right next to my little treasure box with a pen. So you don't have to go around looking for something. It's all right there. And you just write down, this is the testimony of the Lord. And you write down the date and you just write what it is. Fold it up and put it in the treasure box. So at the end of 2019, we can open up the treasure box and we can see these testimonies, so that those testimonies from 2019 will be our delight and our counselors for 2020. And they will be part of our meditation. And then these testimonies can be passed down to the next generation. We're seeing God do things already in miraculous ways in our family, just in the few months that we have been in 2019. And I'm praying it and I'm believing it and I am stewarding the testimonies of the Lord, so that my heart does not wander off, my children's hearts don't wander off, my children's children's hearts don't wander off, that throughout my generational line, Greg and I have a 100-year vision. Until, if Jesus may come back before that, but we're thinking long. So we carry the responsibility to steward these testimonies. Really, that's very personal to us. Okay, so on to my story from yesterday. That was a side note. I was talking to my daughter on the phone. She's been a fifth grade teacher. And last summer, her principal was in, just really needed a new third grade lead teacher. And so he called her over the summer, called her right before school started and said, would you consider moving to third grade as the lead teacher? And Lindsay just was like, oh, I just don't know. So she, you know, she talked to her husband, called me, called her sister. We prayed about it. And she just said, you know, my principal is asking me to do this. I'll jump in. I'll just do it. So she left fifth grade, her favorite grade that she's been teaching for the last 6 years. And now she has jumped into third grade this year. And last 2 weeks ago, the principal pulled her team, her third grade team, and then a first grade team and a kindergarten team into a meeting. And the school district in which she teaches, they're making some changes and changing class sizes and doing some rearranging. And the principal in this meeting, the meeting was all about how these teachers that he called in may not have jobs at that school next year. They will be in the district somewhere, but because of all the things that are being changed around in the district, they might not have a position for them in that school. So as Lindsay's telling me that, my heart is getting like, you know, oh no, you're not going to be doing that to my daughter. She left her fifth grade to do what you asked her to do. And of course, it's the natural, you know, natural response. And while I was talking to her, all of a sudden, because I've been really working on getting the mind renewed, what does heaven say? What do you say, God? Everything, like in a minute, like I was just, it was this abrupt pause. And I thought, oh, wait, okay. So I'm just shut my mouth. And we got off the phone and I just started saying, God, I know you want the best for her. Father, I thank you that she has been so faithful. And everything switched. I just started thanking God for how he's made her, for her faithfulness to those students, to the faithfulness to that school. And you know what? I am believing because of who God is and how much he loves our daughter and the way we've watched his ways through their family and through even the way that she's given herself to her students, most of who are refugee kids. Like, God loves what she does. And so he's not going to just leave her high and dry. He'll turn it all around and he will bring the best outcome for her. So we are taking, I stopped and I built an agreement. In that moment, I was like, I'm going to build an agreement with the Spirit of God so that as whatever I'm thinking on, whatever I agree with, that's going to affect my thought life. It's going to affect my speech life. And I was so thankful that in that, even in the midst of like, oh, Lindsay, how could that happen? And just kind of the starting of the rant that would take us in the wrong direction, I was able to stop what I was thinking and that God was able to just interrupt that. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are on this journey of renewing your mind, it is so worth it. And God is faithful. Everything that starts with God's word in us starts as a seed. So even if you're like, okay, I'm going to start focusing on testimonies. Just know it's a little seed that will grow and will become a full crop, a great harvest. So don't give up when you're just seeing a seed or even when you feel like you don't see anything. So I want to encourage you in the renewing of the mind that you would build an agreement with the Spirit of God. Fill your mind with these testimonies. Go back to that Deuteronomy 4:9. I just want to encourage you to take Deuteronomy 4:9 and just meditate on it. And this is what it says again. I'm going to say it again. And then I'm going to end with, I'll wrap us up with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. But Deuteronomy 4:9 says, just make sure you stay alert. Keep close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live. Teach what you've seen and heard to your children and your grandchildren. This is the testimonies. So, number one, testimonies are given to counsel us. Number two, testimonies reveal the nature of God, anchoring us in heaven's perspective. Number three, testimonies, I just read it, are not to be forgotten. Each generation is privileged to build upon the previous generation. Number four, testimonies keep us encouraged and aware. They're raising the watermark of faith. And they give an expectation. And number five, testimonies build an agreement with the Spirit of faith. And now before we go, I just want to close us today with this quote from Charles Spurgeon from 1859. When people hear about what God used to do, one of the things they say is, oh, that was a very long while ago. I thought it was God that did it. Has God changed? Is he not an immutable God, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does not that furnish an argument to prove that what God has done at one time, he can do at another? Nay, I think I may push it a little further and say, what he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Whatever God has done is to be looked upon as a precedent. Let us, with earnestness, seek that God would restore to us the faith of the men of old, that we may richly enjoy his grace as in the days of old. Isn't that like just a prophetic cry over our generation, over our time now? So I want to just end with that. And that was 1859. I just want to encourage you to take the testimonies and steward them and remember them and thank God for his presence in your life in every way, that it would be rich, that he would be received, and that the testimonies that you're stewarding, that they would be passed on to your children and your children's children, that they would hear and see what you have heard and seen. All right, I will talk with you again next week. Have a blessed week. And again, if you want to reach out to me, you can find my little contact form on kristincheetah.com. And I love to hear what you're thinking about what I am presenting. And if there's anything that you want to hear about, just let me know. All right, have a great week.